let's pray together. God, speak to us. Heal us and hold us close. Give us your spirit and transform us that we might share your love in all we think and say and do. Amen. Today we are starting a new sermon series that we're calling Animated Gospel, Finding Jesus in Kids Movies. We're going to be looking at, over these next few weeks, at spiritual themes in animated family movies, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Invite your friends, because each week we're going to show the movie that we're going to be talking about the following day. And so each Saturday at 10 a.m. in the Labyrinth Room, we'll have a free showing of the movies, and we'll reflect on it in the sermon on the following day. So next week, Pastor Gavin will preach his first sermon here at Travis Park. We're excited about that. And his sermon will include Frozen. And so go see Frozen on Saturday. And then reflect on it with Gavin on Sunday. September 1st and 2nd, we'll watch Moana. And then Pastor Valerie will preach on Moana. And then I'll wrap up the series with the Lego movie in a few weeks here. These movies aren't just for kids, I promise. There's a lot of humor and depth for all ages. Most of all, I think if we've trained ourselves in the story of God's good news, we'll see echoes, we'll hear echoes of that story in culture all around us. All around us, friends, are stories of God's presence, God's steadfast love. Yes, stories of division and pain, but also stories of healing and redemption. I believe if we're going to know and live and share God's good news story, then we need to learn how to connect it to stories in art, in literature, in film, in current events, in life, in your neighborhood. It's in these connections where the gospel comes to life, touches down with us where we live, where we yearn and seek for God alongside our neighbors, where God might just speak if we have ears to hear. We as a church, we as Travis Park, we are here to animate God's gospel, where God's unconditional love and justice are bringing us back to life and are coming to life, being animated through us. And so I think that even kids' movies can help us to do that. The movie Coco and our passage from Hebrews that Kathleen just read, they both help us to reflect on our past, our family of origin, our foremothers and forefathers in faith, all these who preceded us, who for better or worse had a huge part in shaping who we are. William Faulkner famously wrote, right, "The past is never dead. It's not even past." The past stays with us. It's in and around us in ways that we see, in ways that we cannot always see. And then memory is the way that we personally engage the past. Memory, I think, is different than history because memory makes it personal. It says that a part of me was there. A part of that place and time remains with me. Memory makes history into not just any story, but my story, our story. The way that we make history our own through our memories, it matters, whether we want to revive or to reject our past. Frederick Buechner has written that there are two ways of remembering. One makes an excursion from the living present back into the dead past. It leaves this place behind. It transports us back to a place we remember fondly, maybe wistfully missing, maybe romanticizing it as better than it actually was. Or we go back in anger and disappointment. We're transported back to a place that we'd like to leave behind. Yet it seems that we're stuck with the story and its characters as it was handed down to us. But the second way of remembering, so the first way of remembering takes the present back into the past. The second way of remembering, Buechner says, moves the other direction. It summons the dead past and brings it forward into the living present. The past is living with us. Its people are beside us. The gap between then and now is bridged in this new way. Similarly, pastors and sociology types like to talk about family systems theory, this idea that we keep living out the same role that's been assigned to us by our family system, maybe according to birth order or personality. By the way, speaking of personality, sign up, look at your newsletter, sign up for next month's special event on the Enneagram, an ancient way of thinking about personality and identity. Talk to Pastor Valerie, who's helping to lead that regional event. So we're assigned this role by our family system, our birth order, our personality, maybe some experience of trauma. You fill a role. Maybe you were the golden child, the black sheep, the forgotten one, or the rescued one, or the peacekeeper who doesn't make waves. We'll all keep living out the role that we've been given in all kinds of families and communities until we intentionally engage our family history and we choose to live the story differently from the role that we've been assigned up till now. So we're either stuck in this cycle with our past, or we can choose, by God's grace, to reframe our past so that we might recreate and redo our present and write a new story into God's good future. The movie Coco, I hope you've seen it. If you haven't, I hope this will help. But it's all about how we engage our past, our family heritage. It came out at the end of last year. It won lots of awards, including the Oscars for Best Animated Feature for 2017 and Best Song for Remember Me, which we will hear in just a bit. It was the first movie, I thought this was interesting, it was the first movie that cost over $100 million that has an all-Latino principal cast. Coco tells the story of Miguel, this young boy with his family on the Day of the Dead, Dia de los Muertos. Miguel dreams of being a musician, but his family has banished all music from their lives and they forbid him from pursuing his dream. And so we quickly find out why music has become the scapegoat for the Rivera family. Miguel's great-great-grandmother Imelda was married to a musician who left Imelda and their young daughter Coco for a life on the road making music. This musician never returned, and so deserted by him, Imelda starts this new life as a shoemaker, and that becomes the family business. It's expected that everyone in the Rivera family will make shoes, and no one will make music. As Miguel says, the family sees it as music tore our family apart, but shoes, he says, put us back together. That's the story they tell. Miguel secretly idolizes Ernesto de la Cruz, the most famous and suave musician. He's kind of this Elvis or Frank Sinatra figure. Remember Me was his most famous song. And he too came from Santa Cecilia, Miguel's hometown. And so on Dia de los Muertos, we learn that the family puts photos on the ofrenda, this traditional table with objects to remember our loved ones. We will do that with Velia's help. At All Saints Day in a couple months here. We do that at Travis Park each year at All Saints Day. And the movie depicts this kind of communion of saints, where on this one day each year, the dead can cross a bridge from the land of the dead into the land of the living, but only if the dead one's photos is on an ofrenda somewhere. If their memory remains alive, they remain alive and can visit on this one day. Miguel finds a photo that makes him think that Imelda's husband, Coco's dad, this one who left and sent the family history on a new musicless and shoeful trajectory, makes him think that Coco's dad is none other than Ernesto de la Cruz, this famous singer. So Miguel picks up Ernesto's guitar, and somehow he's transported into the land of the dead along with his dog, Dante. Of course he's named Dante. To get back to the land of the living, Miguel needs this blessing from one of his ancestors. But Mama Imelda's blessing comes with a condition: no music. She thinks that she's saving Miguel and all her family with his rule. But Miguel says it's ruining his life. He won't abide by her rule. And so Miguel feels like he has to choose between music, his calling, and family. And Miguel says he's willing to abandon his family if that's what it takes. He goes to find Ernesto de la Cruz, the one musician family member who might bless him, allow him to live his dream, all that he sees as his true birthright. And then along the way, Miguel meets Hector, this amazing songwriter, musician in his own right. He used to play with De La Cruz, but now he's almost lost to memory. He's in danger of not being able to visit the land of the living or even endure in the land of the dead. Eventually, Miguel learns that Ernesto De La Cruz killed Hector, his friend, when Hector wanted to return home. In jealousy, he wanted to claim Hector's songs as his own. So Hector tries to save Miguel, and Hector says, I just wanted to be able to visit my daughter Coco and sing Remember Me to her. I wrote it for her. And the light bulb goes off, right? Miguel realizes that Hector, not Ernesto, is actually his great-great-grandfather. And the real story is that while Hector had left to pursue a music career, he was trying to return home to Imelda and Coco when he was killed by Ernesto. I'm proud we're family, Miguel tells Hector, mirroring how Hector had earlier told him he was proud of Miguel. And to Mama Imelda, Miguel says, family comes first. I'll accept your blessing and I'll reject music if I can just bring back a photo of Grandpa Hector so that he's part of the family's memories again. Miguel had said he just wanted to prove he was worthy of Ernesto's blessing and legacy. But now he receives a blessing from Imelda to return home with no conditions, only the command to never forget how much your family loves you. Hector's photo is lost, and he laments that he won't be able to tell Coco how much he loved her, to rewrite this story where she thought that he had abandoned her. That's a question for us, I think. How might we all inherit an unconditional blessing? Not because we've earned it, or because our heritage is blameless, but because we're loved, just as we are. And we can boldly be ourselves as God made us to be. Hebrews 11 also tells a story of a family tree. It's a kind of hall of fame of the ways that men and women of the Hebrew Bible put their trust in God and lived by faith. They lived in hope, which made them look strange to the world. They endured suffering as they kept their eyes on God and God's promises. But Hebrews 11 says they didn't get all the way there. They and we are still waiting, the author of Hebrews says, for our reward to be completed, for God's hopeful promise to be fulfilled. The passage makes it clear how salvation comes to us from the Jews, and we can't lose the Jewishness of God's story. In Jesus, this story is opened up to every nation and race, but only because we Gentiles, if you're a Gentile like me, only because we Gentiles are grafted in to God's love for and claim upon the covenant people of Israel. We have to take up this baton for our leg of the relay race and keep running in the model taught to us by our adopted Jewish ancestors who lived and died by faith. But here's the kicker. Hebrews 11:40 says, God provided something better for us so they wouldn't be made perfect without us. It's clear that we need our ancestors and their legacy, this great cloud of witnesses who are cheering us on and showing us the way. We need to know and remember and pass on their stories, not because their lives as saints are unattainable. I think that's sometimes how we think about saints. We put them on a pedestal. Not because their lives are unattainable, but because we are called to live like them and we can, by God's grace, be like them. So we need them. But the passage says they need us too. It's been said God's good news has to be good for everyone or it's not good for anyone. We are saved and united with God together as one, not as individuals. And so our ancestors need us to do our part, just like we need them. They won't get there without the part of the story that God wants to share through us, without us running our leg of the race. Friends, what does this mean for us? First, I think it means that we need to consider the way that we've been telling the story about our past, the ways that we make history into memory. Yes, many of us have been wounded by the histories of our families of origin, been wounded by our church tradition. When sometimes we think of tradition either with rose-colored glasses or we lament it as a source of pain and injustice, either way, there's more to the story. How might we acknowledge our past and remember it, learn from it? Even if we can't forgive our predecessors just yet, we can at least not forget them and consider how God's love was for them too, in all their shortcomings, just like God loves us in ours. Is there pain or shame from your past, from your family, in the church at large, or even in this church, where you need to engage that history so that God can heal it and give you a new start? And second, what it means for us is I think we're called by the author of Hebrews to keep our eyes on the prize, endure to run the race, because we're part of something bigger than ourselves. Past generations need us to live a radical faithfulness. Future generations, here around the baptismal font, future generations need us to live a radical faithfulness. We're all in this together. So we have to remember and keep telling the story. We have to keep singing the story so that we know where we came from and where we're going. The stories of the Bible aren't old and dead and distant anymore if they become our stories, our memory, if they become alive, animated in us. So at the end of the movie, Miguel returns home. He wants to give Mama Coco a gift. I don't think Mama Coco has talked at all in the whole movie up to this point. But Miguel comes and says, "I have a gift, Mama Coco, from the past to give you." And we have a clip.
"Mama Coco, your papa, he wanted you to have this."
"Mama, wait.
What's wrong, Mika?"
"Nothing, Mama. Nothing at all.
My papa used to sing me that song.
He loved you, Mama Coco. Your papa loved you so much."
When I was a little girl, he and Mama would sing such beautiful songs.
Just before this, Miguel's family had said, "We're all together, and that's what matters." And it's hard to hear, but Miguel says, "Not all of us." Thinking of how they'd torn Hector's photo, and he was missing, literally, from the picture, the story of their family. Until now, when Mama Coco puts the photo back together. And I believe that's how God loves us. Wants to put our torn family photos back together. That's what baptism is about. That's what we've said for Connor today, and for all of us, that God has grafted us into this new family. Gives us power to run a new race. That's what communion is about. Communion meaning together with. And at the heart of communion is a song that Jesus sings over us. He says, "When you eat this bread and you drink this cup, remember me. Forever, though I'm far away, I hold you in my heart. Know that I'm with you the only way that I can be until you're in my arms again." I believe Jesus sings over us, "Remember me." So friends, when we learn to remember and sing with our predecessors in faith, we are animated. We're brought back to life. We're brought together. We're able to endure grief and pain and change. I'm going to post it on Facebook later, but there's a story from here in San Antonio where a 4-year-old boy started singing "Remember Me" to a photo of his baby sister who had died at 5 months old. If we remember, we come to life, as do the saints before us. If we forget, we die, as do they. Wendell Berry wrote a poem, "Our Children Coming of Age." In the great circle, dancing in and out of time, you move now toward your partners, answering the music suddenly audible to you that only carried you before and will carry you again. The music carried you before and will carry you again. But awe to join your partners in that dance, to hear the music and add your voice to it, that is mystic sweet communion. With God and the new family, where God is uniting all people in a love that transcends time and space. Will you pray with me? God, restore and heal our memories. Restore and heal our memories so you might restore and heal our relationships. Help us remember Jesus and all who went before us with steadfast love and enduring faith, that we might more fully join your story and sing your song. Remembering you for your sake, for our sake, for their sake, for the sake of future generations, for all who are yet missing from the picture. Make us all one as you are one. Make us whole as you are whole. Amen.